is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Welcoming Jeff Bliss is Pacific Watch. The oil spill off Huntington Beach grows and grows. Jeff, a very good evening to you. When first you reported, we had no idea how extensive the damage could be. We have some estimate now. The oil spill started off of Huntington Beach. What do we know now about the damage to Huntington Beach and south? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. The damage is pretty extensive in terms of wildlife, in terms of the habitat areas, the surf zone, the beaches. This is something that's damaging not only the wildlife in the area and the tourism, but is also impacting, some people believe, the value of their homes. So what we're seeing is the oil's washed up in Huntington Beach, which is a very prime surfing beach. It's called Surf City USA, if people care. And for about 20 to 30 miles south, you've got beaches closed. So you've got beautiful, expensive areas like Newport Beach, Laguna Beach, Dana Point, San Clemente, all seeing closures. What is really, really jaw-dropping about all this is now we're starting to see the oil, the tar balls, wash up in northern San Diego County, which is quite a distance away. And that tells you that this spill is much larger than they think. So they originally said it was probably about 120,000 gallons or so. And now they're saying they think it might be over 140. I heard estimates earlier in the week. They thought it was over 150. I think it's going to go much more. What we're seeing now is oil come up off the bottom of, the seabed, the ocean floor, come to the surface and be propelled onto the beaches. And that's really giving people a pause because it's much more than they thought had been leaked.
And Jeff, the damage you say to the wildlife and the plant life, has this happened on scale before? I read some stories that you send me from the Los Angeles Times that there have been many oil spills over the course of the last 100 years. So that suggests there is recovery eventually, just not eventually can be a long time.
That's true. One of the problems we're dealing with, particularly in the Huntington Beach area, is it is home to some endangered species and species that really can't be found much anywhere else. So the thought is if that hits the population of those seabirds and other animals hard enough, it might wipe them out, or it might cause such a difficult situation that it'll be hard for them to come back, or at least it'll be very expensive in terms of the way they try to repair things. This is hitting the fishing industry. So we're dealing with the spiny lobster fishermen. We've got the other fishermen who operate in the seawater out there, and they can't do their business. They've closed the fishing industry out in that area. This is hitting the shoreline. It's hitting the marine mammals. You're seeing problems with some of the dolphins. They're worried about the whales. This is a huge environmental problem.
The spill itself, when first it emerged, we weren't sure that first night, Jeff. It was the pipelines that are from offshore. This used to be a forest of rigs up and down the coastline. No longer there are some remnants of that on shore, but they're mostly offshore now. However, you have much more information about what caused it and whether it can happen again. What, at this point, what is the theory?
That's right. There are a series of rigs off of the Huntington Beach area of the California coast here, and some of them feed all into one pipeline. One particular rig, I think it's the Marie rig, they call it. The pipeline near it had its pipeline, it looks like, dragged almost 150, maybe up to 300 feet. It was, of course, dented, folded a bit, but it had a large gash in it. And that's what created the massive oil leak. And so there was a time there where they were wondering how that could have happened. And now it appears, or the thinking is, that it was probably one of the many container ships that has been laying off the port of Long Beach, because it's all backed up there trying to move the container traffic. And they think that one of these ships may have either dropped anchor directly on the line, or the anchor was pulled across the pipeline by the current. And it's a good bet that it's one of those.
The Wall Street Journal, the Associated Press, and Los Angeles Times are naming the Rotterdam Express. The question is, how would they determine? It's a container ship. I guess it's registered in Germany. It's not exactly what you call a criminal conduct to drop an anchor while you're waiting to land your goods. But the investigation right now suggests that it could happen again. Are they doing anything about that?
There are criminal, certainly civil possibilities here in terms of penalties or prosecutions So every captain of a maritime vessel is responsible for their vessel and what it does to the surrounding waters, people, ships, you name it. And all of the nautical maps in the area, maritime maps, are indicate there are pipelines in these areas. So captains are responsible for where they drop anchor. They're told you have to be very careful in these areas. And some places are actually forbidden to drop anchor. So this is, it is a good possibility that this is what happened. There will be some type of, you know, they'll go after him legally one way or another. And the company certainly for some sort of, you know, compensation. But the way they were able to narrow this ship down is every ship, certainly every ship that comes into a U.S. harbor, every port has to have a transponder on it so it can be tracked. They know which ships are coming in, what their speed is, the direction, you name it. So they were able to kind of narrow it down, what ships were in that area, and it appears that it was the Rotterdam Express.
California is visited by a series of rough bad luck, and we're going to go from the oil spill off of Huntington Beach to the fires, the wildfires, especially the KNP complex. This is very upsetting news, Jeff. What is the extent of the damage to the sequoias that we understand?
This is terrible news. We were worried so much about the most famous, the sequoias, like the General Sherman, but hundreds of others of giant sequoias were not just burned, but destroyed by the fire that came through and the KNP complex fire. These are trees, some of them that have been around more than 1,000 or 2,000 years old. So they're not going to regenerate, and they're certainly not able to go through the normal life cycle of trees and fire where they drop their cones and the cones open up under heat and sprout new trees eventually. So that's not going to happen. Those trees are gone forever, and that's quite a loss to a beautiful part of California, a great national park, Sequoia National Park. It's really, really tragic.
Is the fire still burning, Jeff? Is it contained in some fashion?
Well, they have made some advances on containment. I don't know what the latest figure was. I think I had heard that it was up in the 60s or 70s. It could be more. But what they're doing now is they're coming through the area where the fire is burned and making the assessment. And what they're really worried about is once they get fully contained, they still don't know exactly how much has been damaged throughout the park, but they're very worried.
You also send me a note saying it's fire weather in Northern California. So the Caldor fire, the Dixie fire, the KNP fire, and we're on the edge of having another big one. Is that it?
That's correct. Not just in Northern California, but I think Southern California. You'll need to keep a close eye on this part of the state for the next, you know, 3-4 weeks at least, because we will be looking at winds. We'll be looking at high temperatures, and we have a large fuel base built up that all mean, you know, a dangerous situation.
Now we go to news that is either unhappy for California or very happy for Texas. I think we'll go for both at the same time. Elon Musk, enormously famous for his rocket company, also, by the way, has developed Tesla. No longer a California company. How to read this, Jeff? He says he's expanding in California, but he's moving to Texas.
He's going to keep expanding the auto assembly facilities, but really the headquarters, the brains, the big guts of the company are moving to Texas. And in many ways, this is in response to what California has been doing with its high taxes, its regulations, and its things like, you know, the COVID clampdown. These are all things that have impacted Tesla greatly. And on top of that, there's a great deal of hostility in the state capitol. For one of the reasons is, you know, the unions hate Elon Musk and Tesla. So Musk is saying, you know what, we don't have to take that anymore. We're going to move it. Now, they're saying they're just moving the headquarters, but a lot of people think that eventually they'll move at least the California portions, the assembly, to another state.
Jeff Bliss is Pacific Watch. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.